I knew there were going to be a lot of people here this afternoon. Just imagine if we had 10 graduates and as many people came for each graduate as have for Amber today. We definitely, if we just had two, we wouldn't be able to meet in here. I knew that there would be this many people. As a matter of fact, I could imagine there being more than this. And you say, well, why would you know that for sure? Because I know how it is with Amber. I know that people are attracted to her, okay? Probably because you're high GPA. What do you think, Amber? Okay? I, for a long time, have known that GPA is not of the highest importance in a person's life. I'm not seeing that with my dad. No offense to my dad. His GPA was pretty high in college. He talks about high school, not so high. Something changed in his life between there. But there are qualities that are more important than that kind of academic criteria that are more important. And this is not to say, hey kids, let's not work at it. Let's not do our best. Let's not have the highest GPA that we can. Let's not get the highest grades that we can get. But in certain ways, people may be absolutely the sharpest tool in the drawer when it comes to their intelligence and their academics. But in a lot of ways, they're socially retarded, and they don't care about other people. They're selfish. You get one person that works as hard as she can in school, she does the best job that she can, but she cares about other people, and that can make a greater difference than the high IQ and the highest GPA. So that's why I knew there'd be quite a few people here today at graduation. Amber could have gotten straight A's in school and had 7 people here, but she's got a lot of intelligence, a very high standing in different ways. I was thinking about this as I was thinking about Amber. You may wonder, okay, is this how this is going to go? And it is actually going to go about this. I think this is the way the Lord is leading me. I think the Lord does lead. He does guide. And this is the way He's leading and guiding me for this. I'm an expository preacher. Usually I'm going to break down a passage and show you what it means. But I was thinking about this. I was thinking, what is attractive about Amber? What's attractive about a person that makes them so attractive and have them be such an attraction? Now, sometimes it's obviously compromise. They're just all things to all men. They're what my dad used to tell me and call a wind bender. Whatever way the wind blows, that's the direction that they go. And I don't think that's the case with Amber. I mean, I think that could be a temptation for her because she wants to get along with people. But I believe what we're drawn to, this is what's attractive to us, okay? We're drawn to Christ-like behavior. I think people are drawn to Christ-like behavior. I mean, everybody is drawn to Christ-like behavior. Why? Because we're made in the image of God. God created us in the image of Jesus Christ. He created us in that. Okay, you say, I don't believe that. And some of you, maybe you're sloughing it off right now. Don't do that. You go back to Genesis 1:26, and male and female created He them, made in the image of God. Our problem is our sin, which ruins that image. But we can be returned to that image. We can be returned, and that's because of Jesus. Jesus made a way for us to get back to that image that God created us in, that design. And that's what is attractive. And I don't mind having a discussion about that. We could have a couple-hour discussion about Amber. What's attractive about her, I believe it's Christ-like behavior. Jesus is God, all right? He's a return to what God intended us. Jesus is a return to what God intended us. He's the one that gets us back. And we yearn for that. We yearn for that. So when we see it, it's attractive to us. We yearn for that image of God that we are created in. And so when we see it, it's attractive to us. I want you to get this, okay? And you say, well, why aren't more people like that if that's so attractive? Because it's not possible. You can try. You can work at it. But it's not going to come by works. It's not going to come just because you try it. Now, I think there are people out there that have various qualities that are very much like the Lord Jesus Christ, and it brings some attraction to them. I think it does, even though they're lost, even though they don't know the Lord. But it's not possible to get the whole package to have that kind of attractiveness. This is part of our groaning for the day of redemption. It's why we read this in Colossians 2:9-10. Now, if I was going to have you go somewhere, I'd have you go to this. This is totally topical today, and you'll see that. But Colossians 2, 9, and 10, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's in Jesus. Dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then the next verse, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. What's attractive is when we see that completion, when we see that fulfillment. That's what's attractive. Okay? That's Christ-like behavior that's fulfilled in Jesus Christ, in him. You're complete. It reminds me of Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. See, Christ is wonderful. So when we live Christ-like, our lives can be wonderful. Okay, that's what amazes people. That's what's attractive to people, is when we live like Jesus. Okay? Now, we see things in amber that are attractive, and I thought about what's attractive about amber, because I knew there were going to be a lot of people here today. Alright, if I was going to make a prediction, I said it would have been a packed out place. I would have said the parking lot was going to be full with one graduate today. I would have said that. Now, you say, well, how would you know that for sure with this one person? I mean, in a lot of ways, you say, who else would actually fill up a room like this at their graduation? What other one person would actually have that take place? You could hardly think of somebody else that would. And I know, Amber, as I say this, you know, when you walk out of here, you have to get out of the room with your big head. Okay? Right? We're not trying to, you know, fill it all up here. But I think I want other people to get something out of this, okay? I haven't really centered a graduation message on the graduate so much in the past, but I also knew most people are here for Amber. They're not necessarily here to hear my sermon. I understood that one. And I'd be all happy that all of you just came and said, boy, we want to hear what Pastor Brandenburg's going to preach during the graduation sermon. That's why I'm going to be there. All right? I knew that wasn't going to be the case. That doesn't mean at the same time I'm not going to preach, but I also know this is about Amber. So let's think about Amber. Let's do that. Okay? If you're here for Amber, you think this is about Amber, let's think about that, okay? Why is Amber attractive? It's Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is attractive.
Yes.
Things that are about him are attractive. That's what's attractive to us. People that are about Jesus are attractive. People talk about Jesus like he's a philosopher, like he's just a good man, like he's a prophet. And they talk about him even in those ways, even though there's no way he could be those things. There's no way he could just be a good man or a prophet or just some philosopher, because he said he was God. So that would make him a liar or a lunatic. There's no way he could be a good man, a prophet, if he was a liar or a lunatic. And yet people say, well, you look at Jesus' life. We're looking at this carpenter's son in Nazareth in Palestine, and you think, that? We're just going to focus in on that? That's what it's all about? No, what is it about Jesus? What's the attraction there? We may be repulsed to do them ourselves. It isn't interesting, as attractive as Jesus Christ is, we ourselves are repulsed at living like Jesus. Isn't that interesting? We know that living like Jesus is attractive, and yet we won't. We'll be selfish, self-centered, live for ourselves, not caring. You got the care award. Not caring, not compassionate, not like Jesus. Okay? Not thinking about other people. You know, it's interesting with Darlene. I know Darlene's also really popular, and sometimes I get a little chuckle out of it. And Darlene, I know you can get a chuckle with me. It's Mrs. Smith. I know other people don't call her Darlene. But Darlene's really attractive, you know. But in a lot of ways, our church isn't attractive to people. Darlene, you know that. You're really attractive to people, but our church isn't really attractive. Darlene believes just like our church. She's constantly trying to point out our church to people, and people don't make the connection. They don't. Why can't they make that connection? Because things about Jesus are repulsive to people. As much as they're attractive about Darlene and her living like Jesus, and about Amber because she lives like Jesus, they're repulsed about our church because they don't want those things. They don't want those characteristics. They don't want those qualities themselves. They like to see it in other people. They like the attraction that is in other people, but they themselves don't want it themselves.
That's right.
But they're attracted when we see them in someone else, as long as it's not me. And I know it's not because of Amber. She started out by thanking God for her salvation. Why? And I said, that's the right thing to say. That's what you say at graduations. No, I know it's true. That's why she started with that, because that's the truth about it.
Amen.
Here's Amber. I've seen her for a while. She was here in kindergarten. She was at our house a lot. A lot. Maybe she doesn't remember it so much. I don't know what she remembers about me. She didn't have any like bubble stories for about me or anything. Okay. I'm sure there's something in there. I remember your hair falling out or something. All right. Here's my outline. My outline today is A-M-B-E-R. Amber. Because I think this is what Amber is. Now, I had to work a little bit because I knew what the qualities were, but I had to fit them into the name. All right? So bear with me on that, okay? For you geniuses out there. All right? Especially the first one. I had to force it a little bit, but this is the right word. All right? The first one is allegiance. A for allegiance. She's allegiant. All right? That's the most forced word, so if you that are not liking that outline, you'll now be able to get over it. Okay? Amber is loyal to people. She's not going to just put up with their garbage. I've noticed that about her, because sometimes I ask Amber for a commentary. You know, I like to be like I'm a CNN or Fox anchor or something. I don't have television, but I've seen them on the internet, these guys. And So I ask her, so Amber, what are your thoughts about that? And I kind of wait to hear what Amber's going to say in class about whatever it is. But if it's not right, she'll actually say it. She won't beat around the bush with a statement. She doesn't say even the politically correct statement. She actually says what she... And I know that, so if I ask Amber at that time, I know that I'm going to get the exact statement that I think will be helpful. Because if I say it, of course I'm going to say it. Pastor Brandenburg, I'm going to say that. But if say, so Amber, what do you think of that? I know I can have Amber say it. It's just something different about it if Amber's saying it instead of me saying it about whatever it is. Stay with me here, okay? Deuteronomy 7:9, because we're talking about attractions that are found in Jesus Christ, okay? Jesus defines loyalty. Jesus defines allegiance. Jesus defines faithfulness. You know, Mrs. Ross played Great Is Thy Faithfulness? He's faithful to us.
Amen.
You know, we have in Lamentations, you know, the faithfulness of God based on the rising and the setting of the sun. You know, you see the sun rise and the sun set, and you say, you know, Jeremiah says, great is that faithfulness. You see Solomon, he looks at it from man's perspective, and he says, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Rising and setting the sun, Solomon looks at it from man's perspective. He says it's vexation. It's vanity. Jeremiah looks at it and he says, great is thy faithfulness. God is faithful every single day. Deuteronomy 7:9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. God's faithful to you right now. I like to remind us of this, but try the air supply test. If you think that you're not dependent on God, let's just shut off the air supply for a minute and see how dependent you are on God. For you that think that you're on your own and you're out there doing your thing, you like air, don't you? All right? God keeps supplying it. We just take it for granted. Air is just going to keep coming, isn't it? It's not. This world is going to pass away. God is the one that's sustaining this place because he's a faithful God. Not because you're worth it. That's just who he is. Okay, and I think with Amber, it's not because you're worth it. Even, you know, she listed a lot of people. Do you think she's been faithful to all of you because of how great you've been? You think you've been super people? You think that's why? You think so? All the people she listed, do you think it's because you've been such great people that she's felt loyal to you? Or do you think it's just because she's been loyal to you? What do you think? Well, think about it. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. God knows about these things with us when we're going through temptation. He's faithful to us. And it says that, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. When you're going through a hard time, God gives you a way of escape. God is faithful. It's not because of Him that you went the wrong way. It's because of you. God is always faithful to you. And that's a quality that's attractive. Amber has that quality. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. The one that called you will also take care of what needs to be taken care of for you to make it. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Keep believing. Why? Because God's not going to fall through on you. God's going to be faithful to you. Hebrews 12 might not look like it, but God will always be faithful to you. Hebrews 12:2, I have this one in there because I was thinking of this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him. You know, Jesus stayed on the cross, and He had joy going to the cross. Jesus had joy going to the cross. He was faithful to go to the cross, and He didn't do it kicking and screaming. He didn't have to. He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have destroyed the world, but He went to the cross faithful to you. 1 Peter 4:19, wherefore let him that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Our God is faithful. He shows allegiance. And that's a quality that is attractive about Amber, but it's a quality that's attractive because it's Christ-like. Second, the M. Now, at this point, I don't have to force it all because this one's right in there. If I wanted to make the whole outline about this one, I could get it. Motherly. Okay, Amber is motherly. All right? Now, that kind of gets put down today, the whole thing of motherliness. But anybody would say Amber is like a mother hen, and everybody's like the chicks. Okay? All right? She's the mother hen. The chicks are running now, and she's trying to keep the chicks in, making sure they don't get out there, the wolves to get them, and so on. Amber's got that quality. Well, you know who defines that quality? God defines that quality. This is repeated in Scripture again and again. Psalm 17:8, keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Well, what's that? What's the hide me under the shadow of thy wings? That's the mother hen. Or it's the eagle. It's some bird that's keeping the chicks protected. That's the illusion there. You see it in Psalm 36:7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Psalm 61:4. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. And then what about Jesus in Matthew 23:37? By the way, this is really an absolute contradiction to the idea that God is too busy. And so we need a mother. God has the qualities of a mother as well. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I gather thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Jesus wants to gather us under His wings. He has that motherly quality. Jesus does. And we like to see that. We especially like to see it in a girl, that she has a motherly quality, because that's actually being rejected by girls today, by women today, to be motherly. They got to be different than that. But Amber is not that way. She's unapologetically motherly. Absolutely motherly. Has no problem being that way. And the mother gets put down for women today, and that's just really absolutely a strategy of Satan to do that. Plainly stated in Psalm 27:10, when my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. The Lord takes the position of a father and a mother to us. He will. God is motherly to us. Jesus is motherly to us. And that's a quality that is attractive in Amber. Third, what's the next letter? Okay. B. All right, just want to make sure you guys are staying with me. I had at least one person. Okay, benevolent, okay? In John 13:5, Jesus does something really amazing. Okay, this is Christ. Remember I said that what's attractive about her is Christ-like qualities. They're attractive. By the way, you say, well, that is why I'm here. That is why I'm here today. Well, why not just have the same qualities if they're so attractive? Okay? Why not carry on those attractive qualities? John 13:5, after that he poureth water into a basin, this is Jesus, and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. That's the benevolence that we see with Amber. Somebody starts to barely have a little bit of nose drip, and Amber raised her hand, you say, yes, I'd like to get a hanky. You got a cold or something? No, her nose is running. Her nose is running over there. I see it. Philippians 2:4, look not every man at his own things, but every man also in the things of others. That's the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's not looking on your own things. Is that attractive to you when somebody is not, especially a teenager, seems like they care about other people? They say we live in a narcissistic society, which we really, by the way, pushed on young people with the self-esteem movement. To think about yourself, about yourself, about yourself. Instead of thinking, you know what? God created me in His image. Now that's good enough. I'm going to think about others. That's what Jesus did. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:7, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Jesus is benevolent towards us. Towards everyone around him. Even when those rejectors, those Christ rejectors, those rebels were standing there in that place on the east side of the Sea of Galilee, they were hungry, so he fed 25,000 people. And when they were done eating, they didn't care about him at all. They just walked away from him. Jesus cares about other people. He's benevolent. Fourth, and this is Amber. It's encouraging. He is encouraging. Same words of encouragement to other people. Romans 15:5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. God of patience and consolation. Now the word encouragement is not found in the King James Version, but the consolation. Barnabas. I thought of Barnabas, but we're not talking about Barnabas. We're talking about Christ. Okay, but I'm sure Barnabas was the son of consolation because of Jesus and what Jesus did to him. And you know, Barnabas was the one that really helped out Paul at the beginning and was a friend to him when everybody was hating Paul because of his conversion, his leaving the Pharisees. Philippians 2:1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ. So there's the encouragement that we have in Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2:16, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which had loved us and had given us everlasting consolation, everlasting encouragement. See, you can always go to Jesus for encouragement. Amber's an encourager. She's encouraging. Okay? She wants to encourage other people. That you don't get a GPA for that. You don't get a GPA for encouragement. It doesn't get a grade in school, but it's Christ-like and it's attractive. Fifth, and this is probably the most important of these because she wouldn't have the other four without the R, and that is righteousness in Christ. Because you don't get to be this way without the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You know what happened to Amber? You know why she has Christ-like, the Christ-likeness? And you say, well, I don't think she's always Christ-like. Yes, yeah, because we're all sinners. It's because in my flesh dwells no good thing. Okay? But characteristically, she's this way. But that's not because of her, but because of him, because of Jesus, because of his righteousness. Do you know that Jesus lived a perfect life of righteousness? And when we receive him, we get his perfect righteousness. We get the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And there are people, because they think they're righteous on their own, they're good people. When Jesus said, there is none good but one, that is God. There's none good but one, that is God. Jesus is good. Our goodness is found in Jesus Christ. We don't have goodness without him. But we go about to establish our own righteousness and we don't submit ourselves unto the righteousness of God. And that's why we don't get the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We think we're righteous. We think we're good. But Amber knew she wasn't. So Amber received the righteousness of Christ, Romans 5:21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:30, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made in us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." In Jesus Christ is righteousness. It's only found in him. It's not in works. It's not in our effort. It's not in our deeds. "By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight." By the deeds of the law. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy.
Amen.
Philippians 3:9, it says, "And be found in him." This is Paul who said, if we're going to go by resume, I would be one that you could call righteous, but I'm not, he said. "Be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." He's saying, I got my righteousness by faith. Romans 10:3, as I mentioned to you before, what happens is people are ignorant of God's righteousness, and they go about to establish their own righteousness, and they don't submit themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, I just want to say a few more words here, because I think you understand, that means we're done, right? Amber. We spelled it right, so we're done. Amber is 18. Are you 18? Okay, Amber's 18. Okay? She's graduating from high school. We're hoping for more than this. As a matter of fact, if these qualities are true, we're going to see more than this. But, Amber, this is also an address to the graduate. It's addressed to everybody, but it's also an address to the graduate because, Amber, yeah, I think you've got all these qualities, and that's what makes it attractive. That's why the parking lot's full, and that's why this room is full. Because of this attraction that people find in Christ-like behavior that you possess. But I want to challenge you with these things as well. I'm just going to briefly challenge you with them. Work and diligence without procrastination. Work and diligence. John 9:41, Jesus said this, because this is Christ-like as well. And Amber's a hard worker, but I'm challenging her. People are not here today because of that necessarily that quality. They're here for those other five, but I'm challenging her. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Let's grow in that. What about this one? Always obedient to the word. Jesus always did the will of the Father. John 5:30. By the way, this is not to say that Amber doesn't have these qualities. She would have gotten through high school if she hadn't worked. She worked hard. But I'm challenging you in this because I don't think people are here today because of work and diligence without procrastination. I think they're here because of Amber. All right? John 5:30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And this is Jesus speaking. My judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Jesus always did the will of the Father. Always obedient to the Word. Amber, what's going to impress me as much as anything, and I'll be watching, I'm not your judge, Jesus is your judge, but are you going to work and be diligent without procrastination, or are you going to always be obedient to the Word? I'm going to be watching for that. Always obedient to the Word. And young people that are here to honor Amber, always obedient to the Word. Okay? You like this about Amber, but do you like that Jesus fulfilled the will of the Father? Everything that the Father did wanted, he did. What about this one? Bold for God. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. There's something about Peter and John, about their boldness, that reminded them of Jesus. Boldness for God. Be bold for God. The friendless might shrink with that, though. I'm telling you, if you're bold for God, the friendless could go down. But we've got to be work, we've got to be diligent, we've got to be obedient, we've got to be bold. And then faithful to God. Matthew 28:20, before Jesus left, he said, "I'll be with you always." I know I mentioned allegiance, but I'm talking about Jesus in his saying, you know what, I'll always be there for you. Hebrews 13:5, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. Do not be faithful to God. Be faithful to him. You're faithful and you show your allegiance to others, but make sure you're faithful to God. That's what we'll be looking for. And then be pure. There's going to be temptations out there, but in 1 John 3:3, speaking about when we see Jesus Christ, when we see him like I know him that we sang earlier, Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. It's talking about when you see Jesus, knowing that you're going to see him, you purify yourself even as he is pure. Christ-like behavior is pure behavior. I think Amber is pure. But I think after 18, and after, when you get out there in the world and you have all those things around you that are temptations, I think she's going to do okay. But I'm challenging to be pure out there. To be pure even as he is pure. Because we are going to see him, 1 John 3:3. You'll see him, Amber. Will everyone else, though, see him in you? In other words, we want to see Jesus, but do people see Jesus in us? I really titled this message, I didn't title it actually, Amber, I titled it Doing What Jesus Said and Did, because that's what's attractive, is Jesus. So even though it's about Amber, it really is about Jesus, because there is no Amber without Jesus. There is no allegiance without Jesus. There is no encouragement. There is no righteousness in Christ. There is none of these qualities, this benevolence, this motherliness without Jesus. Will everyone else see him in you? Will they see him in us? You came today. You came today because of a certain attractiveness of Amber. Maybe you said, well, I'd like to be an honor to Mrs. Smith too. I mean, I had her in class and stuff, but I think it's mainly about Amber. I mean, I think it's about you're here because of her. But if you really think these things are attractive, then let's be attractive to Jesus. I think Amber, I don't think I'm going on a limb here. I think Amber would agree with this, that what's important is that your attraction be to Jesus. And that you see him through her. And that people see Jesus in your life, because that's what's attractive, is Christ-like behavior.
Right.
That they see that. Because we're going to see him someday. We're going to see him, and we will be like him. So knowing that, let's purify ourselves, even as he is pure. Let's pray.